prayer requests over here. Do you got some over there, sister? Okay.
We want to pray for Ashlyn Franklin. She's just 29. She was electrocuted in a work accident yesterday. She's in the ICU in Tulsa with third-degree burns on 45% of her body, and they're trying to save her right arm and hand. That's going to be a waiting game. The family of Leota Smith, who passed away yesterday, and Todd Gillespie is in ICU at OU due to a car accident last Friday.
Okay. Let's pray for these. Lord, I know that we've just been talking about suffering, and here we have three that have experienced some very difficult things. We should hold Ashlyn before you, knowing that electrocution, God, burns. The recovery from that is hard. It's the road to recovery is often very difficult with the things they've got to do to repair your skin, God. So we just pray for her comfort, for her, God, as much as possible, God, you would give her an ease of pain in this. Lord, we pray that you would give the doctors, the nurses, those attending to her, the wisdom to know what to do and which treatments are necessary at what time. Pray that you would help them to do everything necessary to save her arm and her hand. God, knowing that you are fully capable of healing her, we ask for that this morning. But we also ask that, just like we've seen this morning, you would help her to rejoice through this suffering. And for the family of this one who passed yesterday, we just pray for this family, Lord. Pray that you would give them a comfort, a peace, a hope that only you are able to provide. And we know that you are able to give us peace that goes beyond anything we understand, even in these moments of darkness in life. So we just pray this for the Smith family as they mourn the loss of Leotis, and asking that their family would just receive peace and joy from you in this time. Pray for this Todd Gillespie, who's in ICU after the car accident. Lord, I don't know the extent of injuries, but if he's in ICU, it's pretty severe. And so we just pray that you would heal his body, Lord, from head to toe, Lord, that you would give him healing over his injuries. And once again, just praying for the doctors that they would know what to do and how to do it and when to do it, Lord. Again, we ask that you would heal his body and pray that you would, God, help him, as we've prayed and as we've talked about this morning, just to rejoice through this, God, knowing your good promises. And we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
This is the last week to register for GLOW International. It is a strategic meeting of worship, prophetic preaching, and teaching with prophetic words to launch kingdom advancement. It will be March 31st through April 2nd. It covers Western Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle, and the Kansas Southwest area. It will be held at the Dome Civics and Convention Center in Borger, Texas.
The cost is $65, I think.
Yes. Cost is $65. If you have questions, you can contact Laura Nell Hayes at 580-515-5608.
And following that, there will be a Ray Garcia Sunday at 6 at the ballroom, and there's no charge for that. Glass Fellowship Pastor Bob Lawrence is sponsoring that.
And Heart to Heart Pregnancy Care Center is hosting a Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free. It's a 4-week compassionate and confidential Bible study designed to help guide suffering and hurting women through the emotional scars of past abortion experiences. This study helps women deal with issues such as relief and denial, depression, anger, letting go, forgiveness, and acceptance. It will be Mondays only, April 3rd through the 24th from 6 to 7. For more information or to enroll, you can call 580-243-2229 Monday through Thursday, noon to 6, or text the confidential 24/7 hotline.
Prophetic Voice Ministry is located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott.
The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road. Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Bardice & Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Jason Holland. Before we get back to your message, sir, would you be so kind and share information about your church location and anything else that you would like to share?
Will do. We meet at 608 East Broadway in Cheyenne, which if you go to the stop sign right in the middle of town and hang a right or go to the east, we are on top of the hill. We meet Sunday mornings for Sunday school at 9:45. We have our worship at 10:50. We're usually done around noon or a little after that. And then on Sunday evenings, we have discipleship classes. So we have classes for men and women. We have class for youth. We have class for children. We got something for everybody. Wednesday nights, starting at 5:30, we have Club Kick for our kids all the way up through sixth grade. And that is the time they get together. They memorize scripture. They sing a few songs. It's a great time. Casey, our worship pastor, does a great job with those kids. And on Wednesday nights also, we have our youth. They meet at 5:30 for dinner and then 6 o'clock till 7:15 or so for our youth worship and time in the Word together. And we have on April 2nd, which is Palm Sunday, we have our Pinewood Derby. We're also having a chili cook-off that day. So if you want to come get some entertainment and have some good chili come that day, we will have regular worship service that morning, and then immediately following that, we'll head over to our family center, and we will have that. So come join us for chili if you're in the neighborhood. So, all right.
I like homemade chili.
Yes. We had my very first Sunday at the church last year, I got to be a judge of the chili contest. So
I don't know about all that. Being new to the church, being the new pastor, I think I'd be like...
It's kind of one of those, the first day you can't really say no.
But yeah.
this year I've been recruiting others to do that.
Right on.
Well, let's get back to it. We've been talking about suffering and how we can rejoice through suffering. I want to talk now about some application. Now that we've kind of heard all this, what do we actually do with this information? So the first thing I want us to do is we have to cling to what we know is true. Cling to what we know is true. So your experiences, your emotions are going to tell you a story of some kind. Other people will speak to you during these moments of suffering, trial in your life. And they may not always be the most helpful things. And so we need, like Job's friends, I mean, good grief, Job's friends sat with him and told him for, I don't know how long it went on, a week or 2 weeks, I forget, about how he had to have been a sinner, otherwise why would this be happening to you? And we know differently. So in whatever you're experiencing, you have to cling to what is true. You have to cling to what you know to be true. Satan will try to convince you that God has abandoned you. He will try to convince you that you have outkicked God's coverage of love. You know, you've gotten too far away. You've roamed too far from the Lord, and he's not taking care of you anymore. He'll try to convince you that God is not good. He'll try to convince you, as he did with Eve in the garden, has God really said? So you must be convinced in advance that you're going to cling to what you know is true when those moments come. And what we know is true is what we've already seen in these few verses that I read this morning, that we have been born again into a new and living hope. We have been promised an inheritance by the Lord, and our salvation is being guarded by no less than God himself. We also know that Jesus says that he will take our burdens on himself because his heart is gentle and lowly. We know that he loves us, and that if God is for us, who can be against us, right? We have all these promises of God, and we have to remember those promises in the moments in life whenever things just seem to be collapsing around us, because it's in those moments when we most need those promises. You know, when life is going great, we need those promises, but we don't need, the realness of them isn't quite the same as when we don't need to know that if the world is against me, God is still for me, as much as we do when the world feels like it's really against you. We got to cling to what we know is true. We have to believe that what we know of God from his word is the truth, and that God is in fact good, even in the darkest moments of life. Another thing that we can do through our suffering and as a result of our suffering is we can use our experience to help fellow sufferers. You may have suffered the unthinkable in life. There are other people that have too. We are not alone in our trials, in our difficulties in life. There's a couple in our, actually there's three families in our church, but one in particular, I talked to him last week. About 30 or so years ago, they lost their 9-year-old son to a disease. And, you know, I have talked to him about this on numerous occasions, and obviously they would never have ever asked for that to happen and still would love to have their son. But he has told me how the Lord has used him to minister to other families who have lost children. No, they would not have chosen to lose their son, but they are allowing God to use their experiences so that they can be a source of comfort to other people who have suffered, to use their trauma to help heal other people in their trauma. There's my all-time favorite TV show is The West Wing. Okay, it's a political TV show. It's not on the air anymore. It hasn't been on the air in nearly 20 years now. But I like it. I watched it all the time. I watched it an episode last night. And one of the main characters is a recovering alcoholic. And he's talking with somebody else who's got some issues with that same struggle. So the application I'm going to give in a second is not necessarily related to alcohol, but it's the same type thing. He tells this story about there was a man and he's walking and he fell into a pit. And he's in this pit and he can't figure out how he's going to get out of this pit. He's in this darkness. A doctor walks by and he says, doctor, help me. I'm in this pit and I can't get out. The doctor says, okay, just one second. So he pulls out his pad and he writes him out a prescription and tosses it down in there to him. And he's got, well, that was a lot of help, you know, and the doctor moves on. Pretty soon a priest walks by and he says, priest, oh, I'm so glad to see you, priest. Can you help me? I'm stuck in this pit. I can't get out. So the priest says, oh, yes, young man, I will pray for you. And so he stops and he prays for this man, but he doesn't help him get out of the pit. He's still stuck in the pit. And pretty soon this man's friend walks by. He says, oh, man, I am so glad to see you. Can you help me get out of this pit? I've seen a priest. I've seen a doctor. They haven't really been much help. Can you help me get out of this pit? And what does his friend do? He jumps down in the hole with him. He says, what are you doing? Why did you jump down in this hole? Now we're both stuck down here. His friend looks at him and says, yes, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out.
Come on.
The point I'm trying to make here is that we who have been through the bottom, we who have walked through the valley of the shadow of death and come out the other side, we can walk back in there, grab somebody by the hand, and walk them out too. That is part of the ministry that God gives those who have suffered. No, we wouldn't have chosen our suffering, but God will use it to help others in their suffering, just as you would hope that somebody helped you in your despair and your suffering. God can use that to minister to us, and he can use us to minister to others, to help drag them out of the pit, because we've been there before and we know the way out. So we also need to be preparing now for the trials that are going to come. So we can cling to what we know is true. We use our experience to help other sufferers, but we also prepare now for the trials that are to come. Think about it like an athlete or a student. An athlete, I mean, they put themselves through the paces. They go to practice, they lift weights, they do all of the conditioning, they do all these things. I mean, they in some ways, they are punishing their bodies. They go home sore, worn out, hurting. And they do this days, weeks, years on end. Why? Because when the test comes, the game day comes, they want to be prepared. They want to be ready and at the best condition that they can be. So they prepare themselves in advance. Same thing for a student. A student who's got a final exam coming up. It's going to study. They're going to read. They're going to sit with their friends, and they're going to quiz each other. They're going to read all the things they've already read 100 times before. They're going to write practice essays or whatever. They're going to do all these. They're going to put themselves through the ringer so they know that when the test comes, they've got it down cold. They are preparing themselves in advance so that when the difficulty comes, when the suffering comes, when the stress comes, if you will, they're setting themselves up for a greater chance of success because they have prepared themselves in advance. The hard work of preparing themselves beforehand makes their success more likely. So, what is the best way that we can prepare ourselves in advance for this sort of suffering? How do we prepare ourselves to rejoice through suffering and trial? Well, the best way we can do that is to rejoice in Jesus, to just celebrate who he is and what he has done. Peter talks in these few verses about how these Christians that he's writing this letter to rejoice in Jesus even though they have not seen him. They have hope in him. They love him even though they have not seen him. And this results in inexpressible and glorious joy. Let's read again verse 8. You love him though you have not seen him. And though not seeing him now, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Why does believing in and loving a God we have not seen result in this kind of joy? Well, first, because we can know our ultimate future. We believe in him we have not seen. And no matter what happens in this life, we know, based on the promises that we read about just in the few verses before this, we know that our eternity is secure, that our future is in the hand of God himself. No less than God himself is guarding our salvation. And we can have inexpressible joy, hope, glorious joy, because we believe in the God we have not seen. We love him. And because rejoicing in Jesus now, we can have this sort of joy. Because rejoicing in him now is like hitting the weight room, like the athlete, or hitting the books, like the student. It prepares us in advance to have that sort of inexpressible joy. And it's not just joy that's like you're happy all the time, but it's joy that even in the deepest, darkest valley, the world looks at us and says, how? Why? I don't understand what. My mind just doesn't comprehend how you can have this sort of joy, this sort of hope in this valley. It's because we are rejoicing in Jesus. Yes, in advance of the suffering, certainly, but also through the suffering. We're rejoicing in Jesus. And we rejoice in him. We have this inexpressible joy because the goal of our faith is salvation. The goal of our faith is salvation. We love him because he is the ultimate goal of our salvation. We believe in him because he is the ultimate goal of our salvation. We will have this inexpressible, irrepressible, glorious joy because Jesus himself is the ultimate goal of our salvation. We will be saved by faith through grace, but the ultimate end of our salvation is that we get Jesus. We don't, you know, we sometimes think about salvation being we get to go to heaven. Well, heaven is part of it, certainly. And the reward, heaven is part of our reward. But that is sort of like the sideshow or the opening act, if you will. Jesus is the main event. And when we get there, it's him that we're going to get. We're going to get him in full. I think I've probably said on this program before, I'll probably say it again in the future, but one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is in 1 John chapter 3, that one day we will see him like he is. I mean, just think about that. Okay, so we have this joy because Jesus is the goal, the ultimate goal of our salvation. We get Jesus out of our suffering, out of our faith, we get Jesus. And that is worth celebrating. That is worth having this inexpressible, glorious joy. But we also can have this sort of joy, and we can have, we can rejoice in Jesus because he is a fellow sufferer. Jesus is a fellow sufferer. In a number of ways. First, Jesus suffered by giving up heaven, giving up perpetual, perfect worship to come live among us. Jesus lived in heaven where it was unceasing, perfect worship. Never a molecule within heaven in rebellion. Always perfect worship. To come to earth where that was anything but the case. He gave that up, okay? We don't, sometimes we think about suffering as what we are, is inflicted on us, but this, in this case, what Jesus gave up. He willingly gave up perfect, perpetual, unceasing worship. And he suffered in that way. We also see in Scripture that he suffered by becoming like us, by taking on human form. The Bible says that he was just like us. He suffered. You know, Jesus had all the normal sufferings of human. He knows what it's like to be hungry and thirsty and tired, and he knows what it's like to stub your toe in the middle of the night, and he knows all the different things that it means to be human. But he also knows the deeper things of what it means to be human, too, because he suffered. He suffered grief. He suffered rejection. He suffered loneliness. Okay, think about it. Jesus' earthly father most likely died while Jesus was living on earth. At the crucifixion, he's telling John, take care of my mom, which by all indication means that his dad was gone. He knows what it's like to suffer the loss of somebody he loves. One of his good friends died, and he grieved over that. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer as we humans suffer. He knows what it's like to be rejected and have relationship difficulties. I mean, his best friends abandoned him at the most important moment of his life. The one who said, I'll go with you till death. I'll never deny you. Three times within a span of a few hours. I don't even know that guy. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to suffer. So we have somebody who is, like the scriptures tells us, in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be human and knows what it's like to suffer. And most importantly, Jesus knows what it's like to suffer for our sin. He knows what it's like to suffer as the propitiation of God's wrath. That's a big word. It just means that he knows what it's like to be the satisfaction for God's righteous anger. God's righteous anger poured out on Jesus. He satisfied all the requirements of paying for our sin. All the judgment that you, all the judgment that we should have received fell on the shoulders of Jesus on the cross. He became sin, Scripture tells us. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All the wrath of God fell on him. Should have fallen on us, but it fell on him. He suffered in a way that none of us can ever completely, fully understand. He suffered beyond the human experience. Yes, we suffer from living in a fallen world. We suffer sometimes from the result of our own foolishness and our own sinfulness. But none of us have ever suffered the full wrath of God like Jesus did. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 53. These verses speak to the suffering of the Son of God. some very famous verses. I'm going to read most of the chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, because it speaks to just the suffering that Jesus endured. So starting in verse 3, it says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep, and we have turned to our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of the oppression and judgment, and who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. They made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man at his death, although he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him and made him sick. When you make a restitution offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will succeed by his hand. He will see it out of his anguish, and he will be satisfied with his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities." Jesus knows what it means to suffer. He knows what it means to be rejected. He knows what it means to be afflicted. He knows what it means to suffer the full weight of sin. Jesus knows what it means to suffer. So we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with us that knows what it's like to suffer. So we can, because of all of that, we can suffer well. We can, because of all that Jesus has and done, we can rejoice in him now. Because of all that Jesus is and all that Jesus has done, we can rejoice in our trials. We'll read, as a close, the lines from a song I really love. It's called "Christ is Mine Forevermore." It's just a couple of stanzas from this song. It's a new song by a group called City Alight. They are great. They put out some really rich songs that are just great. One of their songs is called "Christ is Mine Forevermore." I'm not going to read the whole song. It's a kind of a longer song, but these words are so encouraging to me as somebody who's potentially facing suffering in the future. So it says, "Mine are tears in times of sorrow, darkness not yet understood. Through the valley I must travel, where I see no earthly good. But mine is peace that flows from heaven, and the strength in times of need. I know my pain will not be wasted. Christ completes his work in me." The end refrain of the song is, "Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore." The same is true of us. Whatever befalls us in life, whatever we experience, whatever trials, whatever difficulties, and Peter, specifically the difficulties that he's talking about, are going to be persecution. These guys are going to suffer a lot. Whatever they have, Christ is theirs forevermore. Whatever we have, Christ is ours forevermore. So I want to finish on that note of hope, that because of who Christ is and what he's done, we can love him, we can rejoice. Because of who Christ is and what he has done, we can rejoice through the difficulties in life. And we can do it now, we can do it then, we can do it after. But Christ is ours forevermore. Let me pray for us one more time. Heavenly Father, what a joy to know that we have a Savior who identifies with us in our deepest hurts, who knows what it's like to suffer grief and loss and loneliness and pain and sickness and despair. God, help us to rejoice through those moments when life seems to be at its worst. God, help us to rejoice in Jesus and the good promises you have made to us through him and his resurrection. We pray this morning, praising you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was great. You always bring good food to the table. And I like food from a spirit.
Yes, ma'am.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Jason Holland, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.